This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. It's a common scene in sitcoms and films. Something chaotic happens, an older character looks overwhelmed, and they begin to grab at their chest. We all recognize it as the classic signs of a heart attack. But for many women, these scenes can be misleading. Although heart disease is the most common cause of death for women in the United States, cultural representations of heart attacks rarely present many of the typical symptoms for women. Dr. Nicole Lohr is the medical director of cardiovascular clinical trials at Froedtert, and she joins me in studio to explain how women's heart attack symptoms can differ from what's typical for men.
A woman can very much present in the classical fashion that I think all of us see on TV or we've heard others, you know, loved ones or friends have experiences. I have this squeezing chest pressure that really comes across my chest. It radiates to my arm or maybe my neck or my back, and it's really kind of a sudden onset. I get a little short of breath and winded, and it just kind of builds in intensity. To me, that is really the elephant sitting on the chest version that we all hear. We've made numerous public announcements like call 911, don't drive yourself, call 911 and get to a hospital immediately. So by and large, you know, there will be a certain proportion of women that experience that. A lot of women actually have a lot, I would call them nondescript symptoms. Exertional breathlessness that just kind of, I'm fatigued, I'm tired, well, I feel so kind of sad and down. I have nausea, I feel like I'm going to throw up. You know, there might be a little bit of tingling or maybe some neck or jaw pain, but nothing that is really as quite dramatic as what we would appreciate. Anytime you start to have symptoms that kind of come on, abrupt onset, I would say, you should always kind of pay attention to those. What you're looking for is something that really doesn't go away. Some women don't even experience any symptoms.
Well, and that was something that came up in my research, and they called it a kind of silent heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see this in women. We see them, sometimes patients with diabetes, where basically you have a heart attack and maybe you just didn't really feel well for a day. And it was, like I said, really vague and nondescript. You kind of got better and you moved on with your life. And then you show up to a doctor, you have a test done, and somebody said, did you have a heart attack? So,
well, and that gets to a question that I had looking that up and looking up the symptoms of women in general, which aren't always identified as being connected to heart disease and can go unnoticed. It feels intuitive to say, well, if it went unnoticed, how detrimental could that heart attack have really been? But are the signs and the severity of the signs relative to the severity of the damage caused by a heart attack?
I think that's variable. So I would not make that correlation. I would say that, you know, obviously very severe heart attacks, the presenting symptom can be death, right? So we never had any prodrome whatsoever. But we shouldn't minimize, say, oh, well, you know, this didn't hurt bad enough for me to seek treatment. I always look for symptoms that kind of persist, that seem kind of a little bit out of the ordinary. I've had a woman that I treated who said, you know, I became incredibly anxious. And that is sometimes difficult. How do you come to an emergency department and say, well, I'm feeling anxious and something isn't right? As a doctor, that's like, okay, well, how do I put that together into something that's meaningful, especially a heart attack?
It seems like because the symptoms of heart disease, or specifically heart attacks, are less known by women, by the time they do seek treatment, they've often sustained a lot of damage. They mm-hmm. They come in with worse problems than they would have if they noticed it initially.
Yeah. So I think there's bias in two areas. There's bias by the patient herself. This really isn't happening to me. And I just had this experience with a family member where, well, no, I don't really want to hassle myself by seeking treatment. And then, sadly, I read one statistic that has always stayed with me as a physician, is that 53% of women in one survey, if they thought they were having a heart attack, wouldn't even dial 911. There is a reluctance to seek treatment for whatever reason. I don't want to be thought of as being foolish. some sense of denial. This isn't happening to me. I'm too busy. It's just a little heart attack, as the Go Red for Women through the American Heart Association has a great kind of funny skit. So the bias is on women not to seek care. And then there's a bias once you do seek care. So we have wonderful tests to measure, you know, troponins, which are proteins released by the heart during stress, like a heart attack or infection, EKGs that can give us a sense of what's going on. And even in women who have positive troponins, they're less likely to have a cardiac catheterization, which is the definitive test. So as health providers, we have to really recognize, how do we handle women who present with symptoms, you know, have presentations that suggest they're having a heart attack? Do we act on them as quickly as we should?
I have had my own issues getting doctors to really take my symptoms seriously. And the vast majority of women in my life have had similar experiences. If you're somebody who really truly believes that you are having issues with heart disease, but you're having an issue getting your doctor to do anything about it, how do you navigate that situation?
So I think that, especially as a woman who's a cardiologist, we have to empower our sisters, our friends, and other women in the community to be good advocates for themselves, which is sometimes hard to do. Patients will come to me and say, well, you know, I didn't really think it was going to be this, you know, and fill in the blank of the diagnosis. And I said, you know what? I am an expert in understanding the pathophysiology and how to treat your problem, but you're an expert in you. And you know yourself better than I do. So I can't necessarily know that if your shortness of breath that started 2 weeks ago was something, I'm going to say it probably is. But you might know, well, no, I've had this before and I've lived with it. That means that you advocate for yourself and you find a physician who's willing to engage in the critical conversations you need to have.
So, as we said, even when women present with a lot of things connected to heart disease, they aren't as likely as their male counterparts to get treatment. But when they do get treatment, what does that look like?
That's an excellent question. And some of it depends on really what caused the heart attack. So, especially for women, you can have heart attacks where you don't have a typical blockage of the blood vessels that really feed your heart. If you have a blockage in those blood vessels, we call them epicardial vessels, that's the stents, that's the bypass surgeries. Women are obviously offered those same types of therapies. Whether or not they're appropriate really, again, depends on the cause. Non-obstructive coronary disease can also present as a myocardial infarction. We call that MINOCA. That's the term. And if you look at patients who have MINOCA, the preponderance is that they're women. The mechanism for that is actually quite a bit. It could be maybe the blood vessel spasmed. And so when you go in and do a heart catheterization, you don't see a blockage like we've been trained to look for. You know, the heart isn't just made up of big blood vessels that are sitting on the outside, but rather small blood vessels that regulate flow. That microvascular dysfunction can also cause ischemia and a heart attack. That's treated in a very different way, you know, focusing on cardiovascular risk factors. Is my blood pressure under control? Are my cholesterol in line with what the guidelines say? Am I exercising? Am I avoiding smoking?
What are some of the things that are unique to women that are risk factors?
So if you were to come to see me and you're a woman, I start off by asking you what your pregnancy history is. Because we know pregnancy-related diseases, whether it be gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, it turns out that pregnancy is a wonderful stress test for us to kind of get a sense of really how your blood vessels react. And if you do end up with some of these diseases, you have almost a twofold increase of having a risk of a heart attack in the future. And that's a lifelong risk. It really doesn't go away. Interestingly enough, even having preterm birth, prematurity is a risk factor for the mother as well as the child. The science behind that is still evolving, but nevertheless, it's pretty interesting and obviously specific for women. There's also some diseases that women can acquire that actually are unique to them. So radiation related to breast cancer, is one where we know that the dose of radiation can increase your cardiovascular risk, especially because it's centered on the chest. Thankfully, as we've made advancements in oncology, we're trying to reduce that risk. And some rheumatological diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, I say like your body becomes this milieu of inflammation. And that inflammation is a huge predictor of increasing cardiovascular risk.
What do you think are the most important takeaways for women when they are thinking about their heart health, when they're thinking about possible care? What are the things you really want women to know?
The majority of cardiovascular risk is actually in their hands. So reducing their risk through exercise, making sure their blood pressure is within normal limits. How do you do that? You make good choices in what you eat. You reduce stress. Stress is a huge risk factor that can be modified, and the subsequent depression that women can sometimes experience. Good mental and spiritual health, as well as really the standards, exercise and good diet.
All right. Well, Dr. Lohr, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Nicole Lohr is the Medical Director of Cardiovascular Clinical Trials at Froedtert and an Associate Professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You can find more of our conversations with doctors from the Medical College at wuwm.com.